Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Well, happy first Monday of March. Something people call this madness, which I happen to also agree with, but I am so delighted that you're joining me today. I'm a sports fan, so March Madness means something to me. My guest today is Dr. Froomey Rachel Barr. She's also known as Dr. Froomey, and she is the CEO and founder of the Barr Business School. Welcome to the show, Dr. Froomey. It's so nice to have you join me today. And I want to just say one thing really quickly because I really think it's important to explain. If people want to follow along on your website, I want to spell how you spell your name. So you would go to Barr, and that's BARRBUSINESS school.com. So barbusinessschool.com is how you can find out everything there is to know about Dr. Froomey, and I wanted you to be able to know how to find her. So now that I've taken care of some of those logistics, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you became an entrepreneur?
Okay. Well, first of all, Marcia, I'm just delighted to be chatting with you. You're always a fun conversationalist, so this is going to be fun.
Yes.
So my first iteration of life, I always think of my life in terms of many chapters, and my first chapter was as a physical therapist. So because my mother put me in school when I was 3 years old, I graduated high school at 16, and I graduated McGill University as a physical therapist when I was 20. So that was pretty young to get a start in life. And when I was 24, I self-diagnosed Hodgkin's. And that is really what governs my life and makes me realize that life is short and we have to have many chapters and really have a zest for life. So after that happened, one of my patients invited me to visit his factory, and it was an office furniture factory. And I don't know what possessed me, but I had so many ideas. And I got so much unsolicited advice. And he said, okay, smarty pants, do you think you know what you're doing? The physical therapists are on strike. Come and join me and see if you can implement the changes that you're talking about. And that's how I became an entrepreneur. That simple. I just went from physical therapy to working in this factory and ultimately buying part of the factory from him, which was a clock manufacturing division that was just getting started. So that was the beginning of my entrepreneurial adventure.
What year was that?
Oh, no. You want me to tell you what year that was?
Okay. No, don't tell us. Okay. Whisper.
Oh, whisper. It was actually 1978 when I started my clock manufacturing company.
Wow.
Okay, so that was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. I recall that time of my life as well. So now, and by the way, you are so cool. I just got to say that. If people, when you go to your website and you see, she's sassy. That's what I would say about you. You are sassy. I love your style. So I mean that. Describe your current entrepreneurial adventures and your mission.
Okay. Well, you know what? I learned a long time ago when I became a business coach, and this was like 22 years ago, I learned that what you could have is a portfolio career. You didn't have to just choose one thing, but they need to be aligned together, else you really become scattered. So everything I do has to do with entrepreneurship. So one rewarding part of my work is working with trailblazing CEOs. because I believe every business leader needs to partner with a wise sounding board to deliver an outside perspective. And as my mentor would say, you can't read the label from inside the jar. So my newest adventure is the Bar Business School. And that is really exciting at this particular moment.
Gosh, I think that's so, I love, you know, I love the metaphors. They draw pictures in my mind, and maybe it does for others as well. I'm sort of an auditory learner, and it's great when I hear things like that because, like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So let me ask you then, Miss Trailblazer Forever, how did you come up with the idea for the Bar Business School?
Okay. Well, as part of my entrepreneurial adventure, I moved from Newport Beach to the Bay Area, where I met a very enterprising set of co-founders who started a pet technology company. And because they were involved with pets, we had to move to Kansas City, which is the heart of the animal health corridor, in order for people to invest in our company. Because in the heart of Kansas City and Missouri and Kansas, that's where people really understand animals. And I learned that 60% of the world's animal companies are located in that particular corridor. So that's how I ended up in Kansas City. But now imagine that I just get there. It's December of 2019. In January, as you know, the pandemic hadn't quite started yet, and I was living in the 21st floor apartment building right downtown with this great dog park in my building so I could take Enzo, my Labradoodle, downstairs when he needed to do his thing. So there I am, and now it's lockdown time. And that was really, oh, my God, I was far from home. Couldn't meet with my colleagues. Everything's locked down. And then I get this incredible phone call from one of my favorite clients whose name is Ned. And I actually call Ned my avatar. So Ned had a benefits company, and it was growing. In addition to that, he had two other companies. One was a podcast, actually, on fatherhood, and the other one was a software company for insurance brokers to access more clients. And Ned said to me, you know what? I really want to grow the benefits company. And here we are in the middle of a pandemic. I can't shake anybody's hand. I can't go and visit anybody. Mm-hmm. So what I really want to spend my time doing is learning how to grow safely and sustainably. And since, you know, one of the things that I love is teaching about growth, both from the scale-up, which is one group of growth experts, and the EOS, which is Entrepreneurs Operating System, another group of experts, I have kind of mashed them up together, and that's what Ned wanted to learn. So we decided we would meet every Thursday for an hour and a half, and we did that for months. And I taught him everything I knew about growth. And I had so much fun because I had to prepare, really think about it, prepare lesson plans, and teach Ned. So at the end of that, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is the most fun that I've had in a long time. So I really need to build a business school. And I'll tell you more about that later because it wasn't that smooth in terms of actually doing it. But Ned, I actually was on his podcast, and Ned would tell you his business grew 38.7%. During COVID, in a year when he couldn't shake anyone's hand. So
isn't
he was
that
delighted.
Something?
Yes.
That's really, and you said his name is Ned, N-E-D?
Yes, N-E-D.
Okay.
I love Ned.
Got it. You know, isn't it interesting how things happen? I mean, I know that we could look at life and say, well, we sort of orchestrated this. And that's true. Mm-hmm. We do orchestrate things. But sometimes things happen that you do not orchestrate. I certainly didn't expect to be doing a podcast. And it's interesting how we climb those different ladders if we're willing to look. And, you know, that's always the issue, isn't it? is if we are willing to look.
So that's one of the big secrets of being a good entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs specifically have to have a growth mindset and be open to opportunities. And the happier you are in your life, the more opportunities you're going to see. So when Ned asked me to do this, I had no idea it would turn into a business school. But here we are, and I love it.
Isn't it? And you know, isn't it great to be able to just say with such enthusiasm, and I love it, as opposed to, God, this sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, because that comes through too, right? And so when you love what you do, and I look forward to my Mondays because I love doing this, it gives me a purpose, and I appreciate the unique people. I'm going to tell you, on what day was it? Friday? No, it was Sunday. It was just yesterday. I can't keep my days straight. Was my fifth anniversary on Blog Talk Radio every Monday. And 5 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
But that isn't where I started. Next month, in April, that's when I started in a studio, and that was 3 years prior. So I have been hosting the Born to Talk radio show for nearly 8 years. Imagine the people that I have come in contact with that are doing precisely the kinds of things you talk about, which is loving what you're doing. And I can understand that because I love what I'm doing. So when you look at your sort of ideal students for your school, what does that profile look like? Who are your ideal students?
So it's interesting that you asked that question. When I reflect back on my life, I didn't get a business education till after I had several fast-growing companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I really look at myself, my old self, as that person who went to school, learned nothing about how to start and run a business. And then even when I got my master's in business and my PhD, I still didn't learn what it takes. So, for example, if you're an attorney and you go to law school, they don't teach you how to start your own practice. They teach you law. If you're a marketing student, they teach you marketing. They don't teach you how to build your own agency. So the ideal students are people who don't have a business education or who want to learn how to start, fund, and grow a profitable and sustainable business. Because lots of businesses have one good idea and then they're gone in a year or two because they don't have a second good idea. So how do you do that? And right now, I started off by marketing to entrepreneurs, which is a very large net because everybody's an entrepreneur, it seems. But right now, I am specializing in veterans who want to be entrepreneurs. So that's my excitement. And I'm doing that specifically because my father was a vet. He was in the first of the special forces. And on my website, there is a page dedicated to veterans where I tell my father's story. Because it's a little story of, you know, you come back from, let's say, now. Kids come back from Afghanistan. And what do? They come back to a world where nobody really gets them. And they're lost. So they and very often because they're lost, they go back to Fallujah for another tour because they don't know what else to do. So I'd like to change that, and I'd also like to change that miserable statistic that 90% to 95% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. So
that's unfortunate. You bet. I'm going to just tell you, I just flipped over to your veteran page, and I see that Soldier Sam is right there. He could have easily been my dad. And aren't we fortunate to be able to go back and look at some of these pictures that have been an inspiration to all of us? And the fact that you are working with veterans, I honestly didn't know that, and I think that that's really great to hear. I actually could imagine, frankly. I have a contact for you with somebody that was a veteran. Because, you know, when I say conversations plus connections equals community, that's how, that's what happens in my life. It doesn't matter where I go. I'm going to start a conversation with you, and I'm going to figure out, oh, my God, me too. Or I know somebody that. I just, that's just kind of how I roll. So when you talk about,
so wait,
I do too. I do too.
I want to add one thing. So
please,
if you were to watch that page, I actually, there's a video there where I actually tell the story of why I decided to work with veterans, and I talk about my dad. But there is a picture of a magazine that is a Canadian magazine with the first of the Special Forces, which was called the Devil's Brigade, on the cover, and it's the February-March 2023 edition, because the first of the Special Forces is 80 years old this month.
Wow.
And they
isn't
are not
that,
forgotten. They are not forgotten.
Isn't that something? I mean, really, it's just... I your website gives me chills. I mean, it just makes me so happy to see the different things, which explains to you how you're able to do the things you do because of the of what your interests are and how you can make a difference in people's lives. It's just amazing to me. So you said that you want to equip these entrepreneurs with knowledge that they need to succeed, but what are some of the types of topics that you teach?
Okay, well, there are seven courses at the moment, and the first one is about entrepreneurship and leadership, and what does it take to be an entrepreneur? What kind of mindset do you need? Where do you start? How do you pitch your business? All those kind of things. The second one is people and culture, and that's all about how do you build a team? How do you have constructive conflict on your team? How do you get commitment from people, all of those types of subjects.
Sure.
Next is strategy. You know, what's your why? What are your core values? What's your strategy and your priorities to build your business? Then there's execution. So now you have a plan. How do you execute on your plan?
Right.
And I believe that, that people need to have what I call four 12-week years. Because if you try to create an annual plan for the whole year, things happen during the year, right?
Right.
So you need to be flexible and resilient and change your priorities if the world demands you do, like in the pandemic. You couldn't create a plan in January of 2020 that would work in October of 2020 because the world changed.
No, exactly.
Right? So
it did.
By
yes.
having four 12-week years, you can actually change everything as you go. So after execution, there's cash management, data management, and perhaps one of the most universal, time and energy management.
Oh boy!
And so those are the courses.
That's really nice. I'm looking at your page, and maybe I can't see it all because a couple of those programs are not currently on your page. But I know that people can learn more about that when they go there by clicking on your courses. But you know. I don't know that one is more important than another. I don't know, you know, how you would categorize that, but certainly I know in relationship, I'm not an entrepreneur, so I'm not trying to compare myself to one, but time and energy management, it is vital. It's vital to balance. And I certainly
I
think that we all do this. I mean, I'm not raising a family now. I'm not your ideal entrepreneur, but I'm just saying we all have what we have, and depending upon where you are in your life and what you're interested in doing and how you want to plan for your future. You know, back in the old days when people got pensions, like my husband that worked in aerospace, you know, life was much different financially. It's not the same today. You're not going to get a pension unless maybe you're in the military. So, you know, we need to be able to prosper and grow and build, not only for ourselves, but for those that work with us so that we can be successful entrepreneurs. I think it's fabulous, and I'm kind of curious about how this format works online. Tell me a little bit more about that part.
Okay, so all of those courses that I just mentioned are delivered in a series of short sound bites. Because nobody wants to listen to me, or anybody for that matter, talk for an hour straight. So let's say in the Entrepreneurship and Leadership course, there's 25 lessons. And they're all, the longest one is 30 minutes because that's setting up your business with legal stuff. But everything else is 6 minutes, 12 minutes, 8 minutes, that kind of thing. And all of the courses, so in all, I have 110 videos over those 7 courses. And I also support each of the courses with book summaries. So book summaries are critical to learning. And what I found is that most entrepreneurs or leaders, for that matter, don't have time to read. Many of them, now that we have audiobooks, will listen to a book if they're walking or if they're driving or if they're on a machine at the gym. But when I first started writing book summaries, which was 20 years ago, that's how I stayed in touch with my list. Every month I would send out a new book summary. And in those days, CEOs would print off the summary, and as they were traveling, you know, on airplanes, they would read them. So I have 160, and those are peppered through the different courses so that people can listen and they can read if they're so inclined, et cetera. So you said you're an auditory learner, and the
way
the courses are structured is you could be visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. So I talk to my PowerPoint slides. You can see me up in the corner if you're kinesthetic and you want to actually see who's talking. You don't have to look at me if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But you
can
hear and you can see. And you can stop the lessons anytime you want to do a screenshot or whatever. So it's a very current way to learn.
And I must apologize because I see as I scroll just a little bit further down, all 7 of them are listed there. I just misspoke. Because, I mean, I can feel your passion for this. And I'm sure we're going to talk about some successes at some point. But so everything, as I understand it, is online. And so people can would they end up taking all 7 of these courses in order to graduate?
They could take one at a time. You know, it's meant to be. So, for example, right now I have a student who signed on to just take cash management. That's what's pressing. You know, how do you fund a company? You know, what is a balance sheet about? What is an income statement about? How do they interact? That's what that person needs right now. Somebody else might need time and energy management. So, it would be great if everyone started kind of at the top and took all 7. But that day will come. We're not there.
Right. If you were the person that's really considering being part of the Bar Business School, would you start with entrepreneurship and leadership? Is that a good place to start?
Yes, I would. It's a great place to start because the first thing is, how do you become unstoppable in your new adventure?
Right.
You know, if you've never been an entrepreneur, what traits do you need to have? What do you need to learn? And that's a really good place to start.
Do you talk about goals in that program?
Uh-huh, of course, yes.
Yeah,
Oh,
and habits. Wow, that's really interesting. I think that, you know, there was a time when nobody even knew what the word entrepreneur meant. You know, I mean, how long has that word really been in our diction? We didn't talk about entrepreneurs 50 years ago, right? So I'm guessing it's that. Am I right about that?
Well, you know, my father talked about being an entrepreneur. So I think it's much more, you know, as the world changes and as, you know, there's internet and there's YouTube.
Right.
Everybody knows what an entrepreneur is. It's funny because in California, there's a lot of consultants who call themselves fractional, which means that they're part-time, long-term. That's a very new phrase. When I moved to Kansas City, nobody knew what fractional meant. So there's these words that start in some places, and then they become part of our lexicon. So I think entrepreneurship is kind of like that.
Yeah, you know,
everybody
I can
talk about it now.
It doesn't. I never had heard the term fractional. I think probably back, what I'm thinking about, and back in the old days, so to speak, is that, you know, you just called yourself, you wanted to be a business owner and start a dry cleaning business, or you had access to farms and you're going to, you know, cultivate corn or something like that. You know, it's interesting how, like what you just said, how our vocabulary changes over the time, and mm-hmm. what people maybe understand as entrepreneurs now, which we all do. I mean, you can certainly get all kinds of degrees in this field. It is interesting when you talk about your dad. He probably didn't refer to himself as an entrepreneur. But and because I grew up in a very blue collar, my father worked for the state highway. He worked for the California Highway, whatever that was called. He retired from the National Guard, so he had a background in military as well. That's just kind of what I knew. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and my dad went to work. Certainly there were people that were doing big and beautiful things back in the day, and it's interesting how sometimes this all morphs. So when you think about some notable milestones, and I'm sure you have them, and achievements, what are some of those notable milestones that you guys have reached?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit later about one of my biggest challenges, but the milestone.
Oh, yes.
The milestone that we reached pretty much out of the box, and this is kind of a funny story about, you know, just how you have to be alert to opportunities. I was watching, I never used to watch TV. And then, mm-hmm. of course, with the pandemic, being alone with my cat and my dog, I started watching TV. And one of my favorite shows was called Castle. And Castle is a writer who follows around the New York Police Department detective. And it's a really fun show, and it's all mystery and romance, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so my assistant looks at social media for me and LinkedIn, and she sent me a list of people that I should connect with. And one of them was James Castle. I thought, oh,
no.
Castle. So out of this whole list of maybe 100 people, his name popped out at me, and I reached out to him on LinkedIn. And the bottom line is, one of my favorite milestones was that was the very same day that he was launching the Cybersecurity Global Alliances Accelerator Program, which is a program for entrepreneurs to accelerate their businesses. And we formed an educational partnership so that our courses, even though we were brand new, are in the accelerator. So that is what I consider a one-to-many approach. If I find a partnership with a big organization who wants to give courses to their people, that's perfect, rather than one by one, that takes a long time. So I do look for these educational partnerships, and that was a notable milestone.
And isn't it, how random, I'm going to just use that word, how random through your assistant that through LinkedIn, and many of us, I'm on LinkedIn too, and many of us are, and it's amazing how that can happen. That you don't,
yes.
So I connected, I'm sorry to just digress for just, like, what's the word I mean? I'm stepping away from the conversation.
Digress,
that's the word. I don't know how this happened. I do not know how this happened to this day. But my maiden name was Berger, B-E-R-G-H-E-R. Very unusual way to spell that name. And my father had 10 siblings, 4 brothers. And out of the blue, I see this name, John Berger, spelled my way. And I went, oh, my God, this was on LinkedIn. And we have reconnected. Well, I don't even know if we connected to start with, to be honest with you. He is the son of one of my first cousins. All because of the random. So I couldn't help but add that in there, because when you talk about Castle, and it's like, well, now how did that happen? Well, the planets were in alignment for you, right? It's just,
yes,
it's
but
just
also,
a,
it's the entrepreneurial mindset saying jump on that. You
yes.
know, like not everybody jumps on an opportunity when they see it. But I told them right out of the box. I said, you know why I clicked on you? Because, and I told them, and he thought that was very funny. But that was the beginning of our friendship, because you have to find a way to connect with someone. And, you know, just out of the blue, let's chat. It
right.
really gave us a leg up in terms of forming a relationship, because he thought it was a riot.
Now, where does he currently live? Is he in California?
No, he's actually in Canada. He's in Kitchener, Ontario, and his global security, Cybersecurity Global Alliance, he has got dozens of the most noteworthy people in his organization, and connections to the U.S. government, the Canadian government, the U.K. government. So he's a fascinating person.
Wow. There are a lot of really fascinating people out there for us to know, isn't there? And plenty to
yes.
just say, I would rather you didn't know me. I'm a private person, and I prefer that. And I get that, too. Not everybody wants to be
uh-huh.
out there. But for those that are looking to make a lifestyle change, you know, one of the things that I'm just curious about, and I know you aren't prepared to maybe answer this, but I'm just going to ask it. What's the balance in your entrepreneurship in your business school between men and women? Is it about even? Are there more men than women,
oh.
more women than men?
You know what? There's more women than men at the moment. But what I find fascinating about that is when it comes to coaching, usually men are quicker to invest in themselves than women. And I would say that was mostly what I found, let's say, 15 years ago. I think it's shifting. I think women are realizing they need to invest in themselves. And they always, you know, women traditionally leave themselves for last. Like they put their family first, their husbands first, whatever.
Sure.
But now I believe that entrepreneurial women are starting to realize that they need to invest in themselves. And this isn't based on any research. It's just anecdotal.
No, right. But, you know, it is interesting. Well, look at what technology has provided us. I mean, there was who ever heard about online courses? You know, I mean, there is so much available now to us by simply going to
uh-huh.
Dr. Google and seeing what's out there. And I just think that it's fascinating. So I'm curious. How do you approach risk taking and decision making in your business? Because there must be a part of that.
You know, that's a really good question. Many years ago, I wrote a book summary on a book. I think it was called Choices, Smart Choices. It's called Smart Choices, and they taught a decision making model called PROACT. So, all caps. P and then small r, then capital O, capital A, capital C, capital T, PROACT. And this is how the model works. P is for problem. So first of all, before you go down a bunny trail, what is the real problem you're trying to solve? Then comes the O. What is the objective that you're trying to achieve? Next comes the A. What are the different alternatives that you could choose in order to solve that problem and reach that objective? And then the C is for what are the consequences of choosing this alternative over that alternative? And the T is for trade-off. So if you choose this alternative instead of the other one, what are you trading off, if anything?
Wow.
And I find this is so powerful, Marcia, because
yeah.
when I ask a CEO, how do you and your team make a decision? You know, they usually look at me like deer in a headlight because they may not have a decision-making process. Now, I would say every now and then I do run into someone who has a process, which is fabulous. I love that. But I find PROACT is the one that we use for my school and in general, because it makes the most sense. it's so easy for the loudest person at the table to say, this is the problem we're solving. Well, maybe it's just because that person's loud. Doesn't mean that's the right problem. So if you're finding a solution to the wrong problem, you're not addressing the right problem, right? That's a losing battle.
That is. And, you know, I really like how you simplify. I don't mean to make this a simple thing, but I like how you simplified the fact between the problem, the objective, the alternative, the consequences,
uh-huh.
and the trade-off. I mean, that's really powerful. And if you are missing one of those letters, whatever that might be, then you might be
uh-huh.
missing that opportunity of the alternative, because what you were doing isn't working. So now what?
Right.
You know?
Now what?
I mean, that's what I would think that would be the case. So when I just find this just such a fascinating conversation. When you had some, you know, I'm sure you have, when you started your business school, I keep saying college, I don't mean to repeat myself. When you started your business school, the bar business school, I'm sure
uh-huh.
that there were challenges that you came across. What were some of those biggest challenges you faced when you started growing your business school?
Okay, so here's the biggest challenge that I faced. When I first started my courses, I put them in one of the usual places like Kajabi and Teachable. And I was just a grain of sand on a beach. Now, why should someone take my course instead of your course, for example, right? So
uh-huh.
I was introduced, and this is another serendipity, to the CEO of a platform that was called at the time Sanity Desk. And it was a one-stop shop where you could have a customer relationship management system, email campaigns, courses, a whole shebang. And I met Sam. He was based in the Ukraine, but I met Sam when he was at TechStars, which is an accelerator program in Los Angeles. And I went out to dinner with him because I asked his salesperson if I could meet the CEO, which he thought was very unusual, but, you know, I always ask that question.
Yeah.
And I went out to dinner with Sam and his mentors, and Sam said he was heading back to Ukraine, and he was going to, instead of a six-week workshop, he was going to try a six-day workshop to accomplish the same thing that people accomplished in 6 weeks.
Whoa.
And I thought that was intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
I love that concept because I love fast-tracking. So in those 6 days, one of the things I heard Sam talk about was the Sage Business School out of the UK. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. Imagine having a school called Sage, because that's your name. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So I started thinking, okay, well, what if I started my own business school? Instead of marketing and spending all this effort on sending people to Teachable or Kajabi or you name it, I'm going to send them to my own school. What would I call it? And I came up with, well, why not Raising the Bar for Entrepreneurs? So that's where the Bar Business School name came from. But we're not done yet with the biggest challenge. So I built the school. Because I was one of the only people who finished the six-day course with a real outcome, I attracted the attention of Charlie, who's now my CMO, and we decided to work together and build the school. So from scratch, we built the school from January to March, a whole 110 lessons and all the, you know, so many parts to creating a school. But we did it, you know, like the checkout page and the welcome emails and all of the automation, all that kind of stuff. And then in September, and then we got the cybersecurity milestone. And then in September of 2022, not that long ago, Charlie got a letter to say that the Sanity Desk was going to be auctioned off or put into bankruptcy. And because Charlie worked with both me and Sanity Desk, he was able to tell me what was going on. And, oh, my God, we just built this whole thing, and now it was just going to explode. So I said to Charlie, okay, we're not waiting. We are starting right away to find the right platform, and we're going to rebuild this school. And we did. So we relaunched again let's see, we're now in March. We mm-hmm. relaunched again in December. So
wow.
another 3 months, you know, to, but it's a much better platform now. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, what happened was Sam moved all his 32 employees from Ukraine to Poland when he heard that the Russian troops were massing. And the reason he could do that was because he was a Russian history professor at West Point and had a lot of connections to the military. So he moved all his people. But just because he moved them to Ukraine, from Ukraine to Poland before the war started, it was very difficult in Poland because people didn't want to rent to them because you
right.
know, where they're getting their income from and all that kind of stuff. So that was very sad. And the reason the school became defunct or the platform became defunct was because their U.S. investors pulled out. Last
oh.
year, the venture capital community was pushing down the values of companies. They were taking their time. Interest rates were going up. So it's really not a surprise that Sanity Desk failed. So that was our biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yes.
Because we're resilient.
And I bet you learned some lessons from that, didn't you?
Yes. So here's the biggest lesson I learned. When it comes to, I could support entrepreneurs from here to Kingdom Come. But when
right.
it comes to my own company,
mm-hmm.
I need to go with what's tried and true. I can't afford another one of these debacles, you know? So the
mm-hmm.
company and platform that I put my new school on is tried and true. And if ever anything goes wrong, I know that I've got, you know, I can keep moving forward. So
sure.
that was a lesson I learned. That's a hard lesson. Because I want to support Sam and his platform. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about something that's really exciting because I could talk to you forever. You are offering
uh-huh.
an incredible challenge to our listeners, and it's called the St. Patrick's Day Challenge. That is on my blog, so people can go straight to that link. It actually started on March the 1st. We are in March the
mm-hmm.
6th. Tell our listeners about this remarkable thing you are offering.
Well, you know, software companies, when they want to launch a new product, they give it away for free. It's called freemium. And the reason they do that is because they want to show that that people want to use their product and they want to show traction rather than one person at a time signing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that one of the most fun things that we all love is St. Patrick's Day because everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes,
so
regardless. We all wear green.
Yeah. So there was a 14-day lead-up to it. The challenge started on March 1st. It's not too late for people to jump on board. It will
mm-hmm.
go until the 17th of March. But anybody who comes to our school and doesn't finish by March 17th can just tell me they listened to this podcast and we'll give them a free pass to continue. But here's what
Wonderful.
The challenge is all about.
Please.
Somebody signs up for the challenge. They take any course they want. They finish the course, take the quiz, get the certificate of completion, and that earns them another free course, which means they could take it themselves, they could give it away, they could give it to their children or their teammate or whatever. And that's the challenge. And you know what? We had got 125 people to sign up, which is huge.
That's so fabulous. There's no charge.
No.
There's no charge.
You know,
it's free.
It's free. Come and take a course. And I'm already getting feedback. They love the courses. This is great. And so, you know, I learned from the best, which are the software companies. You have to give things away sometimes so people understand that this is worth spending money on. Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise, you know, you could go to YouTube and learn a whole bunch of stuff. Not what I'm teaching, but how would they know, right?
Right. I'm looking at your website. I can't help it, so I'm somewhat distracted. But I know that you offer a free 30-minute discovery call. And what I love at the very bottom of this, of what you've written, is don't let your dream business become a nightmare. I love that.
Right.
That's fabulous, in my opinion, that you would, there's just so much on your website. I just can't explain to people enough how important this website is. And so as you look to the future, what are your plans for the future? I think you've written a book, right?
Well, that I'll tell you about in a minute. That's how I stay motivated. But
okay.
You know what? The world is heading towards the next version of the Internet. You've probably heard about Web 3.0. That's like the next version, is an element of virtual reality and, you know, artificial intelligence. But essentially, Web 3.0, I want to create a virtual mall. So imagine going into a virtual mall where one storefront is the Bard Business School, but then there's another one for a patent attorney, a trademark attorney, an employment attorney, a school that teaches, a course that teaches you how to negotiate. Everything that an entrepreneur needs will be in that virtual mall. As if you were going into a mall today that was completely, instead of stores and shoe stores, was everything that an entrepreneur needed to succeed. That's my vision.
Wow. Does that just pump you up? I mean, does that just so excite you to think about that?
Yes, I can't wait till it's affordable. Because right now, if I wanted to do it, who knows how much it would cost. But like everything else, you know, it becomes accessible. Just like I remember my first cell phone was like a brick, and I forget how much it cost. And now we've got this little wonderful thing called the iPhone, right?
Right.
Anybody can have.
It's remarkable. So how do you stay motivated? I think you are going to tell us a little bit about your book now, because I think that's real important.
So I would love to tell you about my book. So my
Please.
Book was written in 2010. It is called A CEO's Secret Weapon, How to Accelerate Success. So the secret weapon is very simple. You have to know what you believe in, what your why is, what your purpose is, because that is the engine that keeps you motivated. So when I wrote the book, I interviewed 50 CEOs from around the world, and I asked them if they were lonely at the top, you know, if, what their biggest challenge was. And from 50 CEOs, I heard 40 different challenges. So I distilled them into 10 chapters. And that's what the book is about. And then I went to Simon Sinek, who is the author of Start With Why, and he wrote the foreword to my book. Now, at the time, he had, I don't know, maybe 12 million, maybe 6 million views of his TED Talk, Start With Why. Now he's got well over 60 million. So that's my book. Now, I didn't do an audiobook until this year. And the reason I did it, my son, who's 35, just became the CEO of a very major company here in California. And I said to him, so Corey, have you read my book? He said, Mom, I don't read. I listen to audiobooks. So what do you think I did? A diabolical mom trick. I hired a narrator, and my audiobook came out just in time for him. And it's selling well. So that's why I created an audiobook. So I believe that it's important to always be learning. And every month I share a different episode on my Always Be Learning page on the website that people can come to and learn something for free. It's just like a 12-minute or 16-minute segment. So kind of like your podcast, but it's just me and I'm sharing something. So this month it's Navigating a Post-Pandemic World. Last month it was Overcoming Fear. So I always pick a topic that's adjacent to my school, but not part of the lessons of my school. So I'm always learning, and I want other people to always be learning.
Absolutely. So is this on your blog, Prumi? Is that where they would see that?
At the top of my website, there's an Always Be Learning tab. That's
it sure is right there. Always Be Learning. That's right. That's terrific. And so these seminars, Are they on Zoom? Are they audio? How do people listen to them?
So you just click and sign up, and then you can listen to any of them. And it's basically
see.
The way I do my courses. So
I
if
see.
You were to sign up, you would get to one of the ones you want to watch, or really all of the ones you want to watch, and just watch away. So
you do watch. So
always,
is it on YouTube? Is that what you're saying?
It's on Zoom.
It is on Zoom.
All of these
okay.
on Zoom.
I
yeah,
see.
It's so easy to do on Zoom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can do it on your time frame, right? You can do this whenever you'd
yes.
like. Now, that's
yes,
terrific.
You know what? In the beginning, I was doing these monthly Ask Dr. Frumi Anything gigs, and I was sharing something. But then I realized, you know, like 100 people sign up and 10 show up. That doesn't seem right. So instead,
mm-hmm.
I created this Always Be Learning. And every, you know, if you join, subscribe to my website, then I always send out every month, here's what we're learning this month. You know, just click and listen.
I love that.
That's, yeah, because I think we should be able to learn on our own time. I know I always like to learn on a Sunday.
Is that right? Has that
yeah.
always been a habit of yours?
It's a newer habit because you know what? I learned that it's so easy for me to get distracted.
Oh,
that
boy.
In order for me to stay, you know, on course, I do two. First of all, every morning I have a page, a Word document that's called WIN. What's important now? And
ooh.
I like, you know, what is the most important thing I have to do today? And that way, it's always on my computer, and I don't drop any balls that way. Because it's so, you know, like today.
Yes.
Prepare for Born to Talk on my WIN sheet. So that's how I stay on top of things.
That is
it's
so powerful. You know, it's what's so interesting about what you just said. You use the word juggling. And I'm going to incorporate what's important now because that fact is it is a win. And sometimes when it's just as simple as my computer's not loading, something's wrong with my Wi-Fi, suddenly I couldn't send emails from any of my email, all of these different things happen. But then I figure out how to do it. And I tell myself,
uh-huh.
I speak to, I don't have a dog, but I do have a cat. And I will just say to myself, Kitty, this was a victory. This worked.
Yes.
And I say it out loud. I talk to myself a lot out loud, frankly. And people will hear me say, God, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm just a master juggler, but I'm not catching a single ball and everything is hitting me in the head. And it's like,
oh.
Well, then what do you need to change? Where are your
right.
priorities?
Right.
How do you manage
absolutely.
Your calendar? You know, is there something you're doing that maybe you don't need to do anymore or maybe not as involved as you once were? You know, are you making time for you? All of those things
right.
that, you know, I mean, I think regardless if you are an entrepreneur or not, you are really, in my opinion, also giving very, very valuable life skills, which I think is, you know, also just so important. Do you find that you, in your level of balancing, is walking the dog one of those things that you would do?
So, yes, I walk the dog every morning at 7 o'clock. And
yep.
I don't believe in work-life balance. I believe in work-life integration. So everything I do, so for example, if I'm walking the dog, this weekend I listened to a book called Atomic Habits. Like if you change 1% of everything you do at a time, you'll end up with massive transformation. So that's what I do. I listen and I walk the dog. Or I always had an office in the house. I have 4 children and a bonus son. And
mm-hmm.
when you have that many children, you have to be very organized, right?
Yes.
So I learned how to integrate. So, for example, if I wanted to go to a baseball game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because my son was playing and a client would call and say, do you have time to talk to me at 3? As a woman, I didn't say, no, I'm going to my son's baseball game. I said, no, I'm working with a client at 3, but how's tomorrow with him? And I remember my son turning to me and saying, Mom, you lied. I said, no, I didn't lie. You will always be my number one client.
Oh,
and that's
gosh.
The way I navigate life. Yeah.
Gosh, you know, you make it sound so simple. And trust me, I know it's not. I know it's not. However, I know it's not. But here's the thing. But you do make it simple in that you do have, I mean, I have all kinds of notes as I'm talking to you. One says trust the process, you know. One says patience. You know, I have all kinds of things that are in front of me right now. One is stop, breathe, and rethink. That was from the anxiety person. But, you know, I think when we find whatever works best for us, don't you think in return we then have a more satisfying life, a life we can be grateful for?
Absolutely. Yes, I love my life. I think you love yours. And you were definitely born to talk.
You know, you're so funny. You know, it's kind of funny about that because I think that's really true. You know, we look back on our lives. And I mean, I did not go to college. I went to work. I met my husband, you know, but I was organized and I knew how to do things. And so while I didn't have a job, I was very active in the PTA, and a lot of things were happening in our schools at the time that I was involved because I went to some of the same schools. And so I was recognized then as a leader, as somebody that could address a group of people. Maybe it was because I used to sell Tupperware. Don't tell anybody. Anyway, so honest to God, I used to get on the stage and just convince people why they should sell Tupperware. But I think that when we find our passion, whatever that might be, then we can live a life that does give us a grateful, thankful feeling. So do you do anything else that just sort of like relaxes you besides walking your dog?
Well, I do a lot of reading. I started knitting during the pandemic because it seemed ridiculous to watch any show and just sit there. I felt like I had to be productive all the time. That's just me. So
yes.
I knit blankets and sweaters and
oh,
so I'm always being productive, I guess. I don't know how to be different.
Did your mom knit?
Nope. She did not.
You know, it's so funny that you would say knitting because words just invite other parts of conversation. So my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she made every single thing I wore, and she knit every single sweater.
Wow.
And
I didn't get
any of those skills. I got a D on my pillowcase because I couldn't sew a straight seam. Yeah, I remember that. I wasn't into what she was doing, but was I always in trouble for talking in class? Probably. You know, I was that person that was always interested in people, and I always have been. And I don't know where that confidence comes from, because some would say, God, you would just go up and start talking to somebody. It's like, well, hell yeah, why not? And it's like, really?
Right.
And it's like, really? In fact, I probably, if I thought about it, I'd go, oh, my God, I can't believe you just did that. But people will either respond by saying, I'm really glad you asked as I'm standing behind you in line, or they'll say, you know, I really can't talk to you right now. And I get that too. I do get that.
Sure.
But I think when we find what we're passionate about, then it comes through, because, you know, the word that I would like to use, and I know that you use some really interesting words, because I wrote them down, But I like the word authentic. I think that people know when you are not authentic. And I, at least I think they do. And so when I know that I am just being the true person that I am, I don't have to wonder if people are wondering about that because they know it. And that's
right.
why I love doing this. And that's why having you as my guest has been such an honor. I've so enjoyed what you've talked about, as well as allowing me to interject parts of my life with you as well, because I do appreciate that this is a conversation. I've never considered this to be an interview. So I just want to thank you, really, Dr. Froomey, for just spending this hour with me and just enlightening people to the possibilities, the challenge. Come on, people. If you are looking to be an entrepreneur or you have a sibling or an uncle or whomever, this is your opportunity. This doesn't cost. It's free. So I want to just thank you for the opportunity to share what's important to you with my guests, with my listeners today. It's been a joy.
Thank you so much. It was really a delightful conversation. I appreciate you, Marcia.
Thank you. And likewise, I'm sure. I am certain of it. So everyone, I'm going to let you get on with your Mondays. I will be having a show, of course, again next week. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for following me. Thank you for allowing me to spend this time with you. And if you want to comment about this, be certain to do so. Let me know. And maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're going, you know what, I would like to be on her podcast. How do I find out about that? You go to my website. You'll find me there. And reach out. But for now, I'm going to just say goodbye, so long. I feel like I'm moving into a song. Goodbye, farewell. I will see you again next week. Thanks, everybody, for staying with me. Bye for now.